afternoon is Julie Berlin, her session, Hey Look. The title of my session has the word lesbian in it. An open conversation about gay and lesbian issues in the church and society.
Another week. I've been here for a little over a year now.
That's great.
This session is a conversation, and a conversation specifically around sexual minorities and sexual minorities as they relate to the church and as we relate to sexual minorities in the church. A couple of things before we begin. I do want to let you know that this session is being taped. We find it's helpful to tape these sessions so people who can't be here have an opportunity to listen in on our conversations. So anyway, we are taping this session. So if that changes what you say or how you introduce yourself, I want you to have that information. Basically, our pattern today will be to go around the room and introduce ourselves, where we came from, and something about why you came today. What drew you here? And then from that, we'll probably have some good ideas where questions or interests lie, and we can direct the conversation in that direction. Pretty informal, and I'm depending on you to carry the conversation today. It's not a lecture by any means, but a conversation that we'll have together. So if you have something to say, please feel free to do so. And I'll go ahead and start out by introducing myself a little bit more. I'm Julie Boland, and I've been here for a little over a year serving as a computer support person, which is an interesting job in and of itself. I am a lesbian. I came out about 2 years ago. And my experience of coming out specifically as a person who's very involved in the church actually drew me closer to the church than would push me away, which I think is unusual for most sexual minorities. Most people who come out have the experience of feeling some repulsion towards the church because the church has a tendency to push sexual minorities out. It's a kind of a two-way street. But my experience was a little bit different in that it seemed to me that I understood the Bible a whole lot more after coming out and after accepting myself as the person God made me to be. There were stories in the Bible that suddenly became much more profound and much more meaningful to me after the experience of coming out, or I guess coming out is a continual process, so during this experience of coming out. Specifically, I think of the story of Lazarus. For Jesus to call Lazarus out of the tomb and say, "Come out, Lazarus, live again," was something that I deeply felt. After coming out, it was physically like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I physically felt lighter and much more balanced, and like I had a lot more integrity. And then there's another part of that story where Jesus calls on the community to unbind Lazarus, to unbind him from the death shroud that he was in. And I had that experience as well, especially at Holden, of a supportive community helping me to unbind the wounds of the closet and the wounds of my lack of integrity before I came out. So that's kind of where, that's kind of my introduction to you. Let's go ahead and go around the room, and I'll let you two decide which way we go.
He likes to talk.
So just
what do you
your
want to
name,
know?
Where you're from, and what brings you here?
My name is Carl. I'm from Tacoma. I'm not here because this is an issue that's certainly been facing our church for some time. And it's particularly interesting, I think, with the new relationship with the Episcopalian Church, and then Seattle, major church there. Episcopalian has a gay pastor just recently. I think that's great. And I think it's, I work in a field where I've dealt with this issue a good deal in terms of employment practices. So I'm interested in it.
I'm Lauren. I'm from Moscow, Idaho. And I guess I'm here just because I'd like to learn something.
Richard from Farmers Ferry, Idaho. I'm here for the same reason as Lori, and also to see if I can find some answers for my brother who died about 5 years ago of AIDS and was very, he was gay and he was very upset with the church at the time of his death and had completely stopped having anything to do with it.
I'm going to tell us your name and where you're from and what brings you.
Well, I just left my wife and she said, be sure to keep your mouth shut.
Which, of course, did no good.
No, I'm Ed. I'm from the suburb of Tacoma, called the University Place.
I'm Julio from Tokyo, again. I saw a movie picture, Priest.
I'm Bill, and I'm from the same area as these guys, University Place, Washington. I should admit that. But I have to be honest, I'm here just out of curiosity. I'm trying to learn something I don't know and put the pieces together.
My name is Dorothy. I'm also from Tacoma. I kind of belong to this little group here. And I think this is an issue that the church is going to have to deal with. And like Carl said, we are merging with the Episcopal Church, and they do accept it. And I'm very open, and I have no prejudices. And I just want to hear what you have to say.
I'm Don, University Place, and we're square dancers. And square dancers now formed gay clubs, and we dance with them all the time. And I find them very enjoyable, so I don't know why the church can't accept them too.
I'm Richard. I'm now from Oakland, California, originally from Wisconsin. Lutheran all my life. Came out to myself in the mid-1970s. Came out the closet in the 1970s, was living in Appleton, Wisconsin. Decided that Wisconsin was not a very conducive place to my lifestyle. Moved to California, left the church. I felt the church had nothing to offer me. The church seemed to reject me. In the early 90s, I felt the need to regain my spirituality and found a Lutheran church in Oakland, St. Paul's, that accepted me for who I was, supported me. St. Paul's is not a gay and lesbian church. It's a Lutheran congregation of which gay and lesbians are members. We're about 15% in a community where we have all, actually our families, our young families are our biggest group. I'm here, I guess just because I'm a gay man.
I'm pastor of a prison congregation in South Dakota where homosexual rapes are quite common and where that particular group of people are shunned, if not downright punished brutally. And so in an effort to try to engage these people to come into our congregation, it's been very difficult. Because those who have, some of them have come and then they leave the service early so that they can get back to their cells safely. Without getting beat up. I'm just trying to struggle with ways in which our community that we call St. Dismas can be inclusive of these people too.
My name is Mark. I serve the village as a part-time backup nurse and also in media ministries. I've been here for about 3 weeks now, originally from a small town in central Pennsylvania, most recently for the last 4 years from Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm a gay man, and I'm here again this week because I wish to be a presence in the community as a gay man. I will be here until at least February of next year. And I wish to be present as a gay man, not because I feel that makes me essentially different as a human being, because I feel in Christ we're all one and the same, but because there are obviously so many questions and so many concerns and so many misconceptions on the parts of other people, and I would like to be a person that people could feel they could raise those issues with, which is not to say that I wish to be a punching bag in the community either, because I'm a human being and I have feelings, and as I found out last week, that those feelings are still capable of being battered, even though I'm very, very secure in myself and have been dealing with these issues of cultural oppression for quite some time. I've been out for more than 10 years now, and my coming out experience, I won't go through the whole thing again like I did last week, because I promise I won't try not to talk as much this week, which is why I wanted to say that, I'd like anyone to feel free to approach me and ask me questions in a reverent way at any time, rather than monopolize this experience with my stories. But just to let you know that the place that I chose to come out actually was when I was in the United States Marine Corps. And that was the start of my experience, But despite the fact that I've gained a tough skin against negative attitudes about who I am as a gay person, that there's still a vulnerability there, and that's one of the issues that I'm exploring while I'm here at Holden.
I'm really nervous, but I do want to tell my story. I grew up with very rigid beliefs, and one of those rigid beliefs was my attitude toward the whole issue of homosexuality. And I thought I knew it, and I didn't. I discovered I went through quite a severe depression about 15 years ago. And part of that was kind of a reforming of my whole spiritual life. In the course of that, I started working in a field that draws a number of gay and lesbian people. And it taught me a lot. And I gained a tremendous amount appreciation for the struggles of the gay and lesbian community, the heartache they experience, the rejection by family and the church. And what I see now, the latest was that that's a big heartache. We had a foreign exchange student when our son was in high school. And that would have been in the early 80s. And we loved him a lot. And stayed in close contact with his family. And he died 2 years ago. And he just keeled over. He was jogging and keeled over and died from a heart, whatever. And we learned after that he was gay, and it was really sad to me that for whatever reason, I know we didn't talk about it when he lived with us, but somehow we conveyed to him that it wasn't safe for him to tell us. And I've been in real close contact since his death with his partner. And I guess the reason why I'm here is kind of an ongoing process of my evolution. And what I see in my congregation is kind of the don't ask, don't tell. We have gay and lesbian couples in our congregation, and from what I see, they're pretty well accepted. But I'm not proactive, and I think that maybe what I want from this is to kind of get a grasp of maybe what part I might play in changing the way it is in my congregation. Grace.
I'm Derek. I'm from Los Angeles, originally from Omaha, Nebraska, so I've got Midwestern Lutheran roots. I'm here today because I'm a lifelong Lutheran, and I'm gay. And I started coming to Holden in 87, and in these conversations, the various seminars over the years, I certainly started by sitting in the back of the room. And now I've made my way in front of the room. And I'm kind of, I did a lot of gay and lesbian activism stuff for a while, and then I went back to graduate school and kind of finished it out. And re-emerging and wanting to be a voice to speak, was thrilled to see something on the board this week involving lesbian and gay issues, and wanted to come and be a part of that. And part of what is important to me right now is that I think and struggle with religion and spirituality is my professional life, and finishing a doctorate in clinical psychology last year has a focus in gay and lesbian issues, including, and this doesn't oftentimes get raised, I produced and edited and produced a video on gay and lesbian parented families as part of my doctoral program, so that's near and dear to my heart. So I'd like to, you know, contribute to this conversation and whatever ones come thereafter as well. I tell the joke that neither one of my older brothers brought home a good Lutheran girl, so I brought home a good Lutheran boy. This is Rick, my partner of 10 years, and we actually met in church. We met at a Lutheran's Concern meeting.
Yeah, that was about 10 years ago. And we actually, my name's Rick, and we actually had a union ceremony 4 years ago. In our congregation. It was well attended. I've been a lifelong Lutheran, and I've been at times extremely involved in the Lutheran Church on every level that you can be, within the churches, and organizations. I think what I'd like to at least like say here today is that I have found that over the years that the best thing is conversations or groups like this to get people at least just talking about it. I have been in groups where people have been very adamantly against me, mean, you know, vicious, at times said some vicious things, but at least you can tell your story. They can hear it if they want to, or other people hear it. And so I think that's why I'm here today, just to say something, to see people's stories, whether or not it's pro or con on the issue.
My name is Kathy. I grew up in a small central Minnesota home, Lutheran. You were either Lutheran or Roman Catholic or Jehovah's Witness. Pretty much a white community. And really no discussion of sexuality, period. Gender, even any sexual identity of your own body whatsoever. And didn't know until much later that my dearest brother was gay. And could not be who he was in any community, let alone the church. And to go to the church and have a community that didn't accept him because of what his sexuality. It was like, I don't get it, but yet I knew people who were abusive to their children, and they were accepted, abusive to their wife, abusive to themselves, and yet there was that acceptance. So, and I find in my present community that it's the we'll accept people who are different, but please don't point that out to us. And where is Christ in that? And where are we as Christians in that thinking? So it would just be wonderful to get beyond. And I guess it is through these conversations where we talk about our fears and what really is a concern, and not to to close our eyes, but to say, you know what, we have people who are hurting, and how do we as a community come together in that? So that's what brings me here.
I'm Ruthie, and I'm from Tacoma, Washington. I am not a lifelong Episcopalian. I was a Lutheran first until I chose to be Episcopalian, and now you're going to get me back.
Devious, aren't we?
I belong to an Episcopal church in Tacoma, Christ Episcopal, which has just chosen to have a lesbian priest. She's a very fine priest, and I would not go to another church where I could not feel comfortable about accepting gay and lesbian people. It just is so important to me. My husband, who is not here now but may come up later, goes to another Episcopal church and is not comfortable in the one I'm in, nor is he comfortable with my daughter, who is a transsexual. And having known, been with her when she had surgery, and when you realize this is not a choice you make. If you are a boy but really are a girl, you don't go through that pain of being cut up in order to be the person you really are. It's just so inherently true. You are what you are. That's why I'm here. I've had a lot of chance to talk to people. I don't hesitate talking to people, no matter if the subject comes close. You'll hear me talking about it. So I'm open to a lot of people have learned about, realized that they could talk about things, because it's a possibility to talk about. It's not something to hide.
I'm Carl. I'm a straight man. Before I moved up to Portland about 10 years ago, I lived in San Francisco for 10 years and had many gay friends. Half of that time I was a Unitarian Universalist, and where being gay was accepted normally. I mean, it was not just a matter of toleration. You were, I think, fully embraced in the community. And then I later joined an Episcopal church, which had about a 50% gay congregation, and whose priest was suspected of being gay, and actually recently came out, and he chose as a way of coming out participating in the gay Olympics, and I think it was in San Francisco. And then I married a pastor in the Presbyterian church. And so I've been watching with great interest, the great struggles of the Presbyterians with this issue. They are still in their constitution on record as not approving ordination of gays and lesbians, and not approving leadership positions in the church who are who I can't exactly say the wording. It's they have to be faithful. If they are not, they must either be celibate, or their sexuality must be expressed within marriage, which basically rules out a sex life for gay or lesbian people. So leadership positions are in the Presbyterian Church are closed off to gays and lesbians, as is ordination. So I watch that with great interest. It's very painful for them because it keeps coming up every year in their General Assembly, as I'm sure it's very painful in the Lutheran Church. And I think it's still a live issue in the Episcopal Church, in certain episcopates or whatever, dioceses.
Yeah, the bishops in Lambeth Conference said.
Yeah. So, but I think it's diocese by diocese and other churches. But anyway, I'm very interested in this. And I personally believe that Christ calls us to be authentic and that gay and lesbian people today are living examples of the authentic life. They are actually people that we should look to as examples of what we should all be in our own lives. So, anyway.
We are going around the room and introducing ourselves and what brought us here. And let's go ahead and start with the second row. How about we start the second row of this direction?
My name is Jill, and I've been out since 1979, and I'm from Seattle. Seattle's a great place, actually. It's a very progressive community, for the most part, to be gay and lesbian. And I thought I was pretty settled, pretty solid about that. And then I became a parent 4 years ago, and have dealt with my sexual identity in ways that I never really dreamed of dealing with it. And found that my daughter outed me in ways that, I mean, as a four-year-old, she has no concept of it, but, you know, to her, she has two moms, and that's fine with her, and it's not an issue. But we've been trying to find a church in Seattle, and we have looked at Lutheran churches and understand there are different Lutheran churches, and we actually are not going to a Lutheran church right now. We're going to a University Presbyterian. And as this gentleman just said, I grew up Presbyterian. I know how they deal with the issue. So I'm going to share a story that's kind of heartwarming. On Mother's Day, our daughter went to Sunday school, and they were making Mother's Day cards. And the Sunday school teacher gave her one card, and decorated, she said, but I have two moms. I need another card. And the teacher was so great, you know, she just said, well, you don't have time right now, but I will give you another one to take home so that you can do that. And the teacher afterwards had the wherewithal and the graciousness to share that story with me when I went to pick up my daughter. And I was so touched by that. And I guess I'm here. I've come to Hilton for several summers. It's always a conversation here about this, and that's great. And I recently had an experience in my life where not everybody was as welcoming, and actually experienced my first outright, I guess, well, example of people. And I guess I'm trying to figure out how I protect my daughter and be who I am. And that's the struggle that I'm going through, and I think maybe spirituality can help me with that.
My name's Craig, and I just graduated from seminary in Berkeley, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. My partner is also a student there, and he'll be going on internship this year, so we'll be apart for a year. So I'm here partly finishing up my degree, or resting after finishing up my degree. I graduated in May and finished my internship last week. And we'll start when I get back as the Minister of Youth at St. Paul's Lutheran in Oakland, the same church as Richard and some other folks here. I came out in seminary and found that I grew closer to God because I wasn't hiding from God anymore. I had an incredible support system in seminary, which I'm not finding in a larger church. While my professors were supportive in seminary, they were only privately supportive and would not do anything else in the face of the larger church, basically saying that the church is here and is at this certain place and we can't do anything about it. So I've been very frustrated and very lonely in my journey, and yet I've been incredibly heartened through that journey to take risks. One was to insist that I go to have an internship where I can be out, and all that simply means is that on my application form to be on internship, I can mark that I have a partner, like everyone else can mark if they're married or not, because there are no boxes on all of the ELCA forms for me. I don't fit into those boxes. That is a very common and simple example, but it's also a very painful one. I'm here today for a breath of fresh air. While I found much support and love in this community, I've also experienced some discomfort and a lot of say discomforts, I'm not sure what else is going on. I've not been quiet about who I am here and have had people stop conversations with me. I've had people walk in different directions. I've had people step three steps away from me, like I'm some sort of leper or something. And it's been very distressful. Because my memories of this place, when I first came here for a retreat a couple of years ago for Lutherans Concerned, was one of incredible acceptance and loving. So I'm wrestling with those feelings of loneliness even here. And I'm wondering what to do with that. So I'm very heartened to be in this room and to have heard that lesbian was indeed in the title of the course. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David, and I'm a gay man working here in media ministry. I'm a concert violinist. I have many gifts that are a reflection of me being gay. It isn't the whole, but it is definitely the part of my creative juices. I have felt as if being raised in this church has been a huge, huge weight on how to be who I am without having the walls come tumbling down and trying to prove or be something that others try to pigeonhole. So basically, I have been in and out of this church that is in my heritage for over 5 or 6 generations. I've feel very concerned about what people are thinking and feeling amongst religious and social attitudes towards moving on, moving ahead, and not regressing back into a negative kind of evil wing power based bunch of shit. So I'm really trying to understand why people aren't more active.
I'm Chrissy. I live in Spokane, Washington, and I came here for information and understanding.
I'm Orpha, and I'm here to listen. Whenever this topic comes up, it seems that people on this side are using scripture to say, this is the way it should be. People are using scripture on the other side saying, this is the way it should be. No, everybody has scripture to the back of their viewpoint on it. And I'm just here.
Start Beckman, I'm from Fargo, North Dakota. And my life experiences and my wife's life experiences regarding gays or lesbian has been all negative, okay? The experience you have. And I guess I know this is a reality in the world. I don't want to pass any prejudice I may have. I'd like to learn more. I brought my grandson up here. It's something he'll have to deal with in his life. and I don't want to pass on a prejudice of something. I need another point of view for him and for myself, okay, regarding this issue. And so that's what I'm here for.
My name is Kristen. I'm in Seattle, and I was at Field Guest at the same time with Craig. I've been a lifelong Lutheran, and this issue is near to my heart. While we do talk at least a little bit about being lesbian or gay, very few people talk about what it means to question or to be bisexual. And that was something that I definitely went through and questioned. And I don't think that there's really room very often in the church to have conversations about who we are as sexual beings, and I wish that there was room. And I'm currently working with a church to help them move towards being, what's the word again?
Well.
Yeah, but what's the...
Reconciled Christ.
I was like blinking at that. So yeah, so that's where I'm, why I'm here.
I want to register now. I teach at a private school. I'm interested in all the issues of diversity. This is one of the reasons. My second important reason, I'm in love with a woman. And this brings me more close to these problems.
John, I work here at Holden as Head Way Tribe. I graduated from Wartburg Seminary, became interested while I was there in sexual ethics. I had had a major mental illness and was new to Lutheran Church and found out that a lot of the Lutheran hierarchy in Iowa, where I was, had a knee-jerk fear-based reaction to my past. So I started looking to find solidarity with other people, especially believers, Christians who felt like they were marginalized by the established church, and started making friends with people who are gay and lesbian and bisexual, transgendered, and just felt more at home with them than people who had a lot of hate in their hearts. And because I was on track to be ordained, I left the LCA and became UCC because I didn't want to be a part of a church anymore that supports the kind of hate and prejudice that the LCA does. So I'm in the final stages of being ordained in the not in the LCA, but in the UCC, United Church of Christ. I'm here at Holden partly to write my ordination papers. And in my papers, I know I will be talking about liberation theology and feminist theology and things that I've learned from those places about how God loves us all no matter what. And I'm here to support people no matter who they are, and I'm glad to be here.
Let's go ahead and do the third row there, starting with you.
Dick, I'm from Mukilteo, Washington. I recently got kicked to be a bureaucrat in the ELCA. I work for the Division of Outreach. I'm assigned to Region 1, and part of my assignment is to advise the Division of Outreach as they write their position paper on the gay and lesbian. That's why I'm here. And by the way, we have started two new mission starts in the Seattle area that are reconciling Christian congregations in the last year and a half.
My name is Audrey, and I'm a volunteer worker here. I live in Calgary, Alberta, and I served as a volunteer in the Lutheran Church in Philadelphia for 3 years. And I have a very good friend that's a Lutheran pastor that has AIDS, and he's just a great friend. And just knowing him has made me feel very open.
I'm Barb Pendleton, Oregon, and I'm here to learn as well. But one of the things I have come to the conclusion of are those that are very anti-gay have never really known one. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you do, it makes the biggest difference.
I'm Vicki Penn from Bonners Ferry, Idaho. I've been
fortunate enough to have many gay and lesbian friends and watch them go through many struggles, tried to be with them, and have a great concern not only for acceptance, but for welcoming all people into not only our churches, but our communities.
I'm Virginia Bouchelin, here to hear people's life stories and the conversation about the subject.
I'm Paul. I'm also from Chile. And also here to hear the conversation and the joint wisdom of and insights of the group.
I'm Kira Mack from St. Paul's in Oakland, where Richard and Craig are. And I guess on a journey of being an activist as a straight woman and being supportive, our congregation was the second Reconciled in Christ congregation in the nation. And we're a rather historical place in the struggle. And are proud to be there and active in that struggle and in that fight. And so it's just good to hear more and to continue the journey that way.
My name is Paul. I'm a 62-year-old gay man, also from St. Paul Church, Reconciled in Christ, the nation. I've only been out for the last 21 years of my life, only the last third of it, and part of the reason it took so long to get the closet door open was my beloved church. So the church has given me many things, and it's my intention to continue to give back to it. And this is one of the areas that I feel particularly important about, given my own journey. As Karen and Richard and Craig have said, St. Paul has some historical significance. You've read about us maybe 5 years ago. Our pastor had the integrity from the pulpit on the 15th anniversary of his ordination to come out as a gay man and introduce his partner. And we all laughed because it was the best kept secret in the, or the worst kept secret in the congregation, everybody knew. But he had the integrity to do that, and of course the response, unfortunately, was that the church took him to ecclesiastical trial, cost us all about $25,000 to do it, and defrocked him. And we kept him, and the church has not come after us. We are still members of, in good standing in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, happy to be there, happy to pay our benevolence dollars and be a part of the mission of this church. So I'm here, for many of the rest of you that, as this woman put it so well, we need to put a face on who we are and that we are in all of your parishes. And if we're not, and maybe in some cases some of your parishes we're not there, but you know what you have in your parish, people, you have their mothers and fathers, their aunts, their uncles, their children, their grandchildren, etc. So as you form your ministry, be aware of that.
I'm Bill, I'm a pastor in Chicago in ELCA. This is, I think, one of the key issues of our time, and certainly in our church, and I think it ought to be. I don't think it's an issue that's going to go away soon, and I don't think it should. The church I'm serving is a consolidation of two churches that are in the process of selling their two buildings and coming together. One of the two is a Reconciled in Christ congregation. The other one was not, but was on that path. And so together these two are going to start as a Reconciled in Christ congregation. And as one of the pastors, one thing that I'm continuing to learn is how to, without drawing undue attention to anyone's sexuality, affirm where they are. And that's something that I see as a journey for myself, is, you know, not to be in people's face about that, but at the same time not to be silent and thereby condone the overall feeling of rejection that our church has a sad history of. So any insights from anyone about how, as a pastor, to be comfortably, visibly supportive, I think, is appreciated.
I'm Roxy Goder, Ruth Church in New. Lutherans can't have her back. I came also from the Lutheran Church, but because my husband was an Episcopalian. I guess I'm one of those people that was convinced by your wonderful being. I mean, I have friends that are gay and I didn't know they were gay, and then when I found out I said, gee whiz, you know, I should throw away these good friends? No way! And so I made a complete turnaround in my mind. I also was raised with a very strong prejudice, and so it's kind of fun to see this happening in my lifetime. Greta Kammermeier ran for Congress, and she said, she told a story about how when she was telling her kids that she was gay, she didn't know it, you know, for a long time. And then when she discovered she was, she called her son and she said, now sit down, I have something I want to tell you. And she told him, and he said, oh, Mom, we've all known that for years. So that's the way I hope I am. I hope I can learn enough from you all to not offend you when I talk. And it's hard to not offend because you don't know. I don't know what offends you, just like I don't know what offends anyone until I find out more about their life.
I'm Wendy Schlein from Chelan, and I came here to listen. We have had a great couple in our church who just now felt that Chelan couldn't be their permanent home when they moved back to Milwaukee, and we have a big loss to have left them, but I'm here to listen too.
I think we got everyone. Now, one of the things that I heard said a lot in this conversation, people asking questions about how to make our churches more welcoming. And I'm wondering if people have some ideas on that front. People have things. Yes.
Well, for practical idea, the way we did it, we developed a particular ministry. This was one of our ministry outreaches in the early 80s. And we advertised in the gay rags in San Francisco and Oakland, and found out there were a lot of people who all they needed was an invitation to come home. People who'd grown up in the church and been alienated, as Richard had been, wanted to come home, just needed to be asked.
I think I'm glad that he brought up that point, because this has come up on both sides of this issue about gay people having fled from the church in fear, and then gay people coming back to the church. And I'm glad to hear someone else bringing up that issue, because that's my experience, and it sounds like it's been your experience and many other people around this room. And I believe gays and lesbians all around the world are coming to a place of collective consciousness where they're sensing that need to come home, to come back to Christ, to God, to their sense of their own spirituality, you know. And it causes me to reflect on what do I stand for in God's eyes, what am I here for, and what do I have to offer the world as a gay man, as he created me. And I think that that's one of the questions, if you're thinking about how am I going to be welcoming or open to a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered person, the first place that you can start is by asking yourself, what do these people mean to me? What do they have to offer me? You know, and then get to know someone personally. Somebody very nicely put it back here. That's the sole determining factor on people's viewpoints. There's a minuscule percentage of people who who know someone, have someone in their life personally who is gay, bisexual, transgender, and otherwise deviant, who are able to continue to support prejudicial and judgmental practices in their life based on anything, least of all the Bible, which is the last thing given to us by God meant to be used as a tool of judgment, fear, and hatred.
I think one thing that has to be done very early on is have conversations like this with the cult of silence can be broken. I know so many parishes where, I know of one parish specifically where the pastor's daughter is gay, but he hasn't told anyone in the congregation, and she's an adult. there are families in the congregation who have gay and lesbian children who don't talk about it because at the church they can't talk about it. There's a silence there that's insidious. So to have the conversations and create space for people to be able to come and see how many other people there are that are in agreement or are supportive, because if your church isn't already welcome, there's probably a good chance that there's people there who don't want to have the doors open. So to even get an ad in the paper is a difficult task. But talking about it and bringing it up and keep bringing it up and not running from conflict and learning how to deal with conflict in a church setting, I think, is first and foremost the place to start.
There were a couple comments that I just want to pick up on. One of the women in the back, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name, said something about not wanting to offend. Another person had said that didn't know very much about it and was here to listen, or, you know, was kind of afraid. One of the things being grown up Lutheran is that, boy, you don't stir the water, right? You know, and everybody here knows, don't like change, don't like any of that. And I found over the years, and a couple people actually, one person in our church who was, you know, older and always said, you know, he's from the older generation, he'd been around, you know, lifelong with him for a long time. He just came up and, yeah, some of the things that he said I could have taken offense at. But I realized he was at least talking to me about his question. He actually had a question he didn't know. He didn't have the knowledge. And I would appreciate there was a fellow back here that said that he'd come here, you know, or several of you had said something about, you know, knowledge that you wanted more for yourselves and for your relatives and so forth. And I think that's the thing is just to go ahead and don't worry about whether or not you're going to offend somebody. Just go ahead and ask whatever question it is that you want to ask. You know, most of us will answer the questions honestly. We won't take offense at it. And just go ahead and ask the questions, whatever is on your mind that you want to ask, that you might not know or have questions about. And I think, and it's not going to stir up the pot at all, you know, in that way, you're just going to get some information for yourself.
I think one of the nice things that is out there's a whole host of resources that are available through Lutheran Concern, through congregations that are already RIC, Reconciled in Christ. An excellent resource to people, which is Parents and Friends of Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals, and Transgenders. Wonderful organization. We just had a representative speak to our Wednesday night Christian Ed class. It was a wonderful experience for the congregation. I think it's important. I would encourage you maybe not to go out and immediately place the ad if you haven't already taken the time to kind of to talk about this issue within your congregation, because even though St. Paul's to us right now is a very wonderful, wonderful place, it took a number of years of getting there and the loss of some dear friends to the congregation who just simply could not deal or chose not to deal with this issue at the same time. And there was a lot of heartache and pain within the congregation. And it's taken us a long, long time. I've been a member of St. Paul since May of 1991. And I've walked in and I've seen part of the struggle. The struggle is really there with people like Karen and Paul, who've been members, I won't say for how long, I won't go there with a detail on the way home. But I've been there for a long time and knew that and saw friends leave. And so I really think that the first step is just, you know, taking some time to examine your own feelings and, you know, finding out you know, how you feel, how the congregation feels. I do want to say that when I tell someone I'm gay, I'm giving you, I'm trusting you with a power that you hold over me, and it's with complete trust that I share that, because you have the power to hurt me terribly. You have the power to have me kicked out of my job. You have the power to have me kicked out of my home. Your power is almost complete. So when I out myself, when I tell you I'm gay, I'm trusting you with something that is very, very important. It's saying a lot about my relationship with you, and I think that's very important as you wrestle with this issue. It's not an easy issue.
And we are out of time. I want to point out there are a couple of resources that I've brought in here, and this is by no means even a smidgen of what's out there and what's good. The bookstore also has quite a few things that I would recommend too. But specifically, I want to point out Is the Homosexual My Neighbor? Could you lift that one up? This is a great resource. There's actually a new edition out, but I think I like this one better because it's a quicker read. That goes through a lot of the Bible passages that are usually used as bludgeons against people who are gay and lesbian, and it does specifically point towards gay and lesbian people. But it also takes a very honest approach to the questions that people tend to have around these passages and many other issues too. It's a great book. The other book, Gay and Gaia, was written by Dan Spencer, who was here earlier this summer. It's a thick read, but it's kind of fun. There's some good stuff in there. And then the other things, there is a Bible study that's put out by a group, a kind of a consortium of welcoming and affirming reconciled in Christ churches from several different denominations. And this, I think, has some really good stuff in it for how to approach in your church beginning the process of becoming a reconciled in Christ congregation. Many of these things, if you're familiar with leading Bible study, you'll certainly have your own style for doing that, but this will give you some good, I think, pointer which direction to go. And then the other thing here is Concord. It's a magazine or a pamphlet sort of thing put out, I think, monthly by the Lutherans Concerned group. And the Lutherans Concerned is a group that's working towards sexual minority justice in the Lutheran Church. So I invite you to take a look at these resources and take a look at what's in the bookstore. And if you have specific questions about kind of topics that you're interested in, I may be able to point you towards other books as well. And I think there are other people in the room who would have a library in their head as well. I thank you so much for being a part of this conversation today, and I encourage you to carry this conversation on with you. You now know a whole bunch of people who are interested in talking about this issue, and I hope that we do continue to talk about it. I think it gets less scary as we talk about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.